560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. My name is Josh Harris. I'm joined by some radically holy Catholics and Allison.
You did the same thing the day of last week. That's okay. I am a work in progress. There you go.
No, you are definitely the most patient and I'd say reflective of, what is that? Corinthians, where love is patient, love is kind. Yeah.
Yes.
Love is not jealous, proud, boastful, rude. Anyway, you just radiate those virtues.
Thanks, Josh.
Yeah.
You're so kind.
You're welcome. I got to make my amends on the air. Well, speaking of setting our foot on the right path, Allison, do you have a prayer for us this morning?
Yeah, I sure do. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we begin this new week together, we invite your Holy Spirit to dwell in us and guide us. Fill our hearts with faith, our minds with wisdom, and our words with kindness. Help us to live not for ourselves, but for you, so that everything we do may bring glory to your name. Give us strength in our challenges, joy in our work, and peace in our relationships. As your word teaches, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:25. Lord, bless this week ahead of all of us. May we walk each day with you. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I love starting the week with a prayer about the week. You know, a beginning of a new week, because it really is.
Absolutely. And this is the best way to start the day. Like they say, you know, you can start and end your day right. Every time.
Yep.
You might not get it right in the middle, but the beginning and end, you can bookmark it pretty well. I'm getting in the swing of things. I'm going to be doing stand-up at the National Catholic Singles Conference on Friday.
Oh, it's this Friday.
This Friday.
So after the show, you are going to be making your way out of here.
Making my way out, yeah. And so I was working on some material this weekend. I had two shows.
Had two shows this past weekend?
Yeah, I was
Josh.
Just kind of testing some stuff out. Kind of low-stakes things, but you know, you kind of go up there and you got to test the waters.
So how
bit.
Did it work?
Actually, honestly, both went pretty well. The first night I was like, gosh, I thought that was a really rough show, but I listened back. I was like, yeah, it was pretty good. You know, we're our own worst critics sometimes.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. And
totally.
Then night two was pretty cool too. Yeah. So just a doubleheader, working out some stuff. But you know, it's kind of like that phrase. And I've thought about it this way in stand up. Only in comedy can you have a great show one night, walk off stage and think there's no way I'm not going to be famous. Right. And then 24 hours later, you have another show. You're like, I wonder if Arby's is hiring right now because I am not made for this. But yeah, it's, you know, that's the only way. But it's interesting because you do this kind of event and you'll get like one joke out of it.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, that was a failure. I tried like minutes worth of material and got 30 seconds of content. But if you think about it this way, if you worked on material just as a comic, but this is also for life, for every week, and you got just 30 seconds, you might think, oh, what a bummer. But at the end of the year, you'd have half an hour of material.
Wow.
And I think that
persistence,
is
right?
Persistence. And I think that's indicative of the spiritual life.
Absolutely.
As well, reflective. We can look at ourselves and go, man, I am not making enough progress. Mm-hmm. But then you realize, wait, no, it was all those small steps that accumulated into something pretty special.
All those yeses, right?
Yeah.
Moving forward.
Absolutely. And how about you? Do you have an exciting weekend?
Oh my gosh, it's so funny because I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a relaxing weekend, and I got busy again. I mean, with kids, with sports, and I kind of had a migraine too during the weekend, so I was actually getting a lot of rest too. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it was busier than I expected, but it was good. It was nice.
It was nice. Yeah,
it was nice.
That's, you know, one thing that's really been centering me. I told you my stepfather is in at Shepherd Center after a serious stroke. Please send some prayers his way, but. It's so interesting because I'll go there and I'll have all these things on my plate that I'm thinking about, anxious about, you know, hoping for. And when I'm with him, it does something to turn the temperature down on all my anxieties or things that I'm trying to juggle, right? And I was talking to a friend yesterday and just sharing that it's kind of like when I'm with him, it does something for me that even the most profound spiritual director cannot do interiorly, this soul surgery, right? And I think that it's because, like Jesus said, a corporal work of mercy. Like, yes, visit the sick, absolutely. And what you do for the least of these, you do for me. And yeah. only in Christ's economy is this the case, that even in our weakest state, we can have the most profound impact on somebody else. And that's what he's doing to me. And so this girl said something, and she said, it kind of sounds like you're going to adoration in yeah. some ways, right? Because if you think about it, to love someone in their weakest mm-hmm. moment is to love Jesus. In a way, you are, you know, God is reflecting the face of his son back to you, right?
Yes.
I think about that line in Les Miserables. I think that the musical, it says mm-hmm. to love another person is to see the face of God.
Mm, so true. Yeah. It's so true. Let us see the eyes of God in everybody, right?
Exactly. And perhaps today, if we have the opportunity to be of service to someone who is perhaps in one of those circumstances, you know, and maybe neglected in some ways, right? Lean into that. Give God your yes and see the beautiful interior transformation that happens as a result.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
On the horizon, this is a pretty action-packed show. We got Father Eric Hill from Transfiguration unpacking today's gospel reading. Wow, that is going to be such a gift. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Lawrence. By the way, we got a scripture verse this week, a new one, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Closing us out, Bill Garrity and Peter Kanzler, parishioners of Transfiguration Catholic Church, are going to be sharing their about the OCIA program. That's fantastic. But on the horizon, we'll be talking about building God's kingdom one good deed at a time with St. Michael the Archangel's Knights of Columbus members, John Markham and Peter Klobinish. That's next.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are joined by John Markham and Peter Klobinish from the Woodstock, Georgia, St. Michael the Archangel, Knights of Columbus Council. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing great good. This morning, Josh.
Fantastic. And to be clear, this is Council 11,768. Wow, a lot of councils out there.
That's more than 12,000 now, I think, for 13 or something.
Yes. Wow, that's fantastic. And okay, so it's grown, by the way. Wow, I'm looking at these stats. So you guys have gone from just 33 members to over 400 knights. That's amazing. What do you think has fueled like this kind of growth?
I think obviously the growth of Cherokee County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cherokee County's over the years has boomed. I moved out here in 45 years ago when it was a cow town. There's nothing out here.
Wow.
So I think that obviously the boom and has attracted a lot of people. But also our parish priest, Father Larry Neese, his remarkable way of conveying the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it
attracts and keeps people. And so we attract a lot of new families. So we have a lot of new parishioners are coming in. And I think these men of these new families see the work that we do as knights. And they want to be part of that energy, too. And so we attract a lot of those. As a matter of fact, we brought 7 new knights in this Saturday.
Oh, whoa. Praise God.
Nice.
Wow. Man.
And we have degree ceremonies probably every other month or so.
Yes.
And we're growing even more than 400. We're probably up to 440 now, I think.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, man. Those troops are stacked. Congrats.
Yeah, and they're doing such great work at the parish and in the community. And I think that's what drives a lot of the sentiment and a lot of the focus, if you will, on our organization.
Yeah, it's incredible to see just the selfless service that is sort of mm-hmm. radically embedded in the hearts of the Knights, for sure.
No, absolutely. You know, and the Knights are known for service to the church and community. So can you all share some of the most meaningful ways that your council is living out Father McGivney's vision today?
Well, I think it's the Knight of Columbus we can put our faith into action.
Yeah.
By serving the church and community alongside with our brother knights.
Yeah.
So, you know, by living, praying, and serving together, we form friendships that you form as men and evangelize others.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what what Father McGivney was wanting to us to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, a tenets of our organization are faith, family, and community life. Those things are very important and very focused. Our focus is from the Knights of Columbus. We also have charity, unity, fraternity, and patriotism, mm-hmm. actually is our fourth degree tenet, if you will. So
wow.
We have some really focused values that we hone in on as far as our organization and our fraternity.
And I know one of your special ministries is actually caring for, like, widows and orphans. I mean, that was really kind of that was big in Father McGivney's original vision, right? So can you share a story that captures how the ministry has touched lives?
Yeah, me and Pete were talking about that actually on the way over. We had a widow in our parish recently who requested help with a back deck,
or
wooden deck in the back of her house.
Wow.
And we went over. She asked us to maybe replace some boards, take a few things, look at it. So a couple of our expert knights went over to take a look, and actually it was in such terrible shape it had to be completely rebuilt. It was falling apart. It was falling off the house. So we were able to rebuild that completely.
Wow.
She was worried about, you know, if she was going to be able to afford it. Well, as it turns out, she wasn't going to be able to afford it, so we paid for the entire deck.
Praise God.
Wow.
And so she has a brand new deck. We actually cleaned some other things off of her loft that day. And
yeah, we've replaced her roof.
Oh, wow.
The tiles on her roof.
Yeah.
She needed a replacement, so we helped with that. We've, over the years, we've replaced doors. We've replaced windows in these widows' homes because, obviously, their husband passes away and they don't have the ability to take care of that. So they approach us. Mm-hmm. And that was Father Michael J. McGivney's big focus was widows and orphans.
Mm-hmm.
When he established it in 1882 at St. Mary's Parish in New Haven, Connecticut. Yeah. So we've just taken that and tried to, support that.
We're fortunate that we have some great craftsmen in our
nice, and that helps, right?
As well. I have to have a shout out for Ralph Broughton. He was one of the knights who helped start our council.
Yeah,
and he's been heading that up for the whole time and has done a great job.
Yeah,
and he's a craftsman himself. I think our guys have learned a lot from him as well,
so. Which is nice, right?
Yeah.
Share
yeah.
the love.
Yeah.
So I know your council has received awards from both the state of Georgia and Supreme. What do those recognitions mean to you, and how do they inspire you all to keep going?
I think receiving awards from both the state and the Supreme Council of Knights of Columbus, it's a tremendous honor, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's also it's a testament to our dedication and effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the ways that the recognition serves as a powerful motivator.
Mm-hmm.
And it wants us to continue on. You know, once you start getting those kind of recognitions, you want to keep building on that. And I think that's what spurs us on to do more.
That's so fantastic. And, you know, the Knights of Columbus work hard to serve, but you also know how to bring people together for fellowship and fun. It's certainly been my case as well, just having the privilege of serving and being a part of the Holy Spirit Knights of Columbus. You guys got a big event coming up, the annual golf scramble. Tell us about what's happening September 26th and how people can be a part.
Well, Josh, we're gonna have some fun on Friday the 26th of September at the Fairways of Canton Golf Course. We're gonna have a 9 a.m. shotgun start to our scramble. We participate, and the golfers participate. Its cost is $100, but you get the round of golf, you get some breakfast and a lunch, and some range balls. So you get some other things. All the proceeds of this scramble go to support Cherokee County charities, and as well as the Knights Scholarship Fund.
Wow!
Where we award a graduating senior with a scholarship fund for their college education.
Oh, wow, fantastic.
And over the past few years, this event was has grown. We're over 100 golfers now, we continue to grow every year.
Over 100, that's amazing.
So we have both knights as well as men who are not knights.
Yeah.
So we obviously use it as a recruiting opportunity, but they're out there having fun, so you don't have to be a professional golfer.
Nice.
It's a scramble, so you don't need to be proficient at golf. You just need to hit a nice shot every once in a while.
Yeah.
So you get a chance to participate, walk around, and have some fun. And obviously, if you're interested, we have a registration page on our website.
What is that website for people to go to?
It's www.kfc11768.org. And on that website, you can see you can hit the brochure and it'll take you to the registration page.
And I'll put that on our show notes as well. There is one other event coming up that you all have. We have a few minutes left, so
it's our dinner auction.
Okay,
it's our annual dinner auction, which is our largest fundraiser of the year, actually.
Wow.
That's where we have a professionally catered buffet meal, which is free. We attract about 250 folks for this event. And so we have a jazz trio that's for entertainment, mm-hmm. and we have the dinner. We have a silent auction, which we have some premier items for that.
Yeah.
And then as dinner winds down, we open it up for the dinner auction. And what that is that's parishioners or groups or couples in the parish who offer themed dinners where we auction them all.
Uh-huh.
We've had every themed dinners like it's 5 o'clock somewhere, the Oktoberfest, themed dinners like
yeah.
that. And we auction these off for X amount of dollars per seat, however many people they have for that dinner. We usually have about 15 to 18 dinners that we auction off. It's a great time. Pete's the auctioneer. We have another guy named Mike Zinchuk, who is our MC, who's hilarious. And it's a great night for all of us. We raised, okay. I think last year we raised around $22,000.
Praise God.
Praise God.
And that's open for everybody.
It's open for everybody.
Fantastic.
Free dinner.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. So just check the St. Michael the Archangel website for more information.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Exactly. Thank you so much, John Markham and Pete Klavanish, for all the amazing work you're doing. And again, all the amazing leadership within the Knights of Columbus. We are truly grateful.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks, Allison.
Thank you.
Still to come on the Morning Quest. Traffic.
Well, Josh, why don't you go first? How about that?
No, you're up.
No, you're going to say what's coming up.
On the horizon, we've got we got a lot of great stuff on the horizon. Let's see. Bill Garrity and Peter Kanzler are going to be talking about OCIA at Transfiguration. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Lawrence. And next, we have the privilege of unpacking today's gospel with Father Eric Hill.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
We are back and joined by Father Eric Hill from Pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church. Thank you for joining us, my friend.
Good morning, Josh and Allison.
We are so thrilled to have you here, Father, and to dive in today's gospel. So let's go for it.
So, Josh, you were hesitant about the pastor thing at Transfiguration. Do you know something I don't know? Or
No. I'm just all thumbs over here today, Father.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if you had words from the bishops or something.
No. You are pastor.
Boy, but let me tell you, what an awkward place. If that news was ever going to come down on the radio to break it, right? So, no.
It's come through other places worse than that.
But honestly, I hear such incredible things, and I love popping into your church, especially because, I mean, you guys are just rock stars with that perpetual adoration. So grateful for y'all, for all you guys have done for my spiritual walk and the diocese.
Amen. So you want to hear about the gospel
Please.
Today, huh?
Yes. Maybe we start by reading it, and then you can take it
can
away.
Can we get a prayer first?
Absolutely.
Let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we reflect on your word this day, we truly share your words with us and with those that are listening to us today. Give us your wisdom and guidance. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Father, Son,
so we read from the
Amen.
Gospel of Matthew 19:16-22. A young man approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to gain eternal life?" He answered, "Why do you ask me about the good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." The man asked, "Which ones?" Jesus replied, "You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All of these I have observed. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So for my reflection, I always joke about this gospel because I think the man went away sad because he had to figure out how to have a garage sale and how was going to get rid of all these things and where to donate the items to
Too much work.
Saint Vincent de Paul and the thrift stores. And I think the difficulty is it's that radical surrender of giving up everything. He was doing everything right according to him. Right, so he had observed all the commandments. He was living the life that was him, according to the exchange that he had with Jesus today in this gospel. And yet Jesus said, okay, if you really want to go further, this is what you have to do. And that's hard. It's hard. I think I would walk away sad if I was called to give every single thing away and simply surrender completely, as did the apostles. You know, if you look at the apostles in their calling, they left the boat, they left the fishing equipment, they left their post as the tax collector, they left everything. And where were they going? They didn't know that either. You know, we leave our house and I have to have four things in my hand. So I have to have my wallet, my car keys, the church keys, and then my cell phone. And if I don't have those four things, I can't possibly conduct a day of life, or so I think. And that's just four things, let alone, you know, my mom always had a purse that was like Mary Poppins.
She had all this stuff.
Yeah.
She had everything in there, including the hat rack and the potted plants and
the lamp.
We struggle. We struggle with being that radical, as we hear in today's gospel. But I think it's... I always preach the fact that God's always calling us to something deeper.
Yeah. I have a question with this, and I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. Well, you said something that was really poignant. You know, you it's like, I think anybody would have walked away sad right here.
Yeah.
What do you think? Then you spotlighted the difference between the apostles and this person. I'm just wondering, like, we see kind of an immediate yes with the apostles, and I think a lot of us probably fall a little bit more into the category of this gentleman, where they, I mean, maybe they say yes, but there is a sadness, there's a, you know, resistance to hand things over. What do you think we can do to maybe condition our hearts to have more of an immediate yes response to God, kind of like we see in sort of the apostolic examples? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I just don't think that. I think there's a little bit more scripture that went in that we don't hear in the apostles. I think it would have been I think the apostles struggled too. You know, it sounds so easy, right? You know, they just said, oh, okay, sure. I know there was further questions, like, where are we going?
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes jokingly say about that, you know, what's our compensation package? What kind of insurance are we going to have in this job? You know, are we going to have days off? Is it going to be like vacation? Do we have PTO? I think there was still a struggle, even in what we see in the Gospels about the apostolic yeses that said, yeah, let's go. I still think there was a little bit of further dialogue that perhaps we didn't hear. But I think for us, it's that constant. We have to consistently daily say, you know what, Lord, what are you calling me to? Well, how are you asking me to grow deeper in my relationship with you? There was a man that was married 60 years, a couple years ago. And I said to the couple, to the man, I said, what's your secret? He said, every day I learn something more about my wife.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
And I said, after 60 years, what the heck could be, what could be a mystery about your wife? You should be completing sentences. But later on, I reflected and I said, we're constantly growing and changing.
Oh, wow.
And as a couple, they should be doing that together, right? To grow together, to become one. That's no different than our relationship with Christ as an individual. We should be consistently growing closer to him. It's never a one and done thing where you kind of say like, oh, I have my relationship with Jesus and we're good. That's not how relationships work.
Yeah.
There's ups and downs, ins and outs, good and bad at times. And sometimes we walk away from friendships or relationships. Sometimes we go closer. But our relationship with Christ should always be growing closer and closer and closer and closer to him.
Wow. Amen.
So, Father, with that being said, would that be a good takeaway for today? Always grow closer and closer and talk to Jesus, ask him to know him more?
Yeah, I mean, consistently say, how am I called to surrender to you? And how do we grow more deeply in love for each other?
Yeah, and it's a beautiful just message you, just, you know, impart it with us, because like that couple, they're continually growing, and thus there is kind of this limitless relational growth that's happening as well. But how much more can the depth of that relational growth be with God, who is eternal and endless, right? So yeah, there's an infinite magnitude of him that we can just continually unravel this life and in the next.
Yeah, it's a constant growth, growing closer to him.
Amen.
Thank you so much. This is wonderful. Father Eric Hill, pastor, Transfiguration Church. This was a beautiful way to help us kick off our day. We are so blessed by this incredible reflection.
And thank you for your ministry. God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And some news is heading your way. This is actually from the Georgia Bulletin. Let's keep it local for a minute. This year, Catholic Charities of Atlanta celebrates 50 years of welcoming refugees to Georgia. Families from Vietnam, Ukraine, Afghanistan, the Congo, many others are, you know, being helped in rebuilding after war and persecution. So, inspired by Christ's call to welcome the stranger, Catholic Charities has provided housing, job training, English classes, and youth programs to thousands. Wow. And even after losing federal refugee resettlement contracts this year, the organization has kept a small, dedicated team to help serve through social adjustment programs, workforce support, immigration, legal aid, and, you know, staff say their mission hasn't changed: to love and serve our newest neighbors, just as they have for half a century.
Later on the Morning Quest,
Bill Garrity and Peter Kanzler, parishioners of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, are sharing about their OCIA program. One wonderful double dose of Transfiguration today, right? And next on the horizon, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Lawrence.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is the Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Mondays, Get Acquainted with the Sainted is sponsored by VerseBrite.
It's 8:31.
Who's on the agenda today, Chuck and Ducky?
Good morning, Josh. St. Lawrence, deacon and martyr of the Catholic Church, sentenced to be burned to death on a gridiron on account of both his faith and his works, which we'll get into in a moment. Legend has it that Deacon Lawrence turned to his executioner while on the grid and said, "Turn me over. I am quite well done on this side."
Wow.
And lest anyone accuse the Catholic Church of being devoid of a sense of humor, St. Lawrence is the patron saint of cooks, also deacons and the poor and impoverished, as well as, yes, comedians. He's your
comedians.
Guy, Josh. Absolutely.
Wow, nice.
So you got to turn to him before you take stage on these nights. You know? Born in the year 225, St. Lawrence was among the seven deacons who assisted Pope Sixtus II in his administration of the Roman Church in the 3rd century. Both St. Lawrence and Sixtus II were victims of the persecution of Valerian in the year 258. And in fact, we celebrated Pope St. Sixtus II just days ago. You may recall that conversation. He was martyred just 4 days prior to Deacon Lawrence, along with a few of his deacons. Abundantly generous to the poor and a lover of children, St. Lawrence is the epitome of a cheerful giver that St. Paul urges us all to be in the first reading chosen for his feast day. And that's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. Our psalmist to pay homage to St. Lawrence when he proclaims, "Lavishly he gives to the poor. His generosity shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory." And that is Psalm 112. As deacon in Rome, Lawrence was charged with the responsibility for the material goods of the church, as mentioned, and the distribution of alms to the poor. When Lawrence knew that he would be arrested, and in the aftermath of the arrest of Pope Sixtus II, he clearly knew he would be arrested as well, he sought out the poor, the widows and orphans of Rome, and gave them all the money he had had on hand, selling even the sacred vessels of the altar to increase the sum. And when the prefect of Rome heard of this, he imagined that the Christians must have considerable treasure. He sent for Lawrence and said, and I quote, "You Christians say we are cruel to you, but this is not what I have in mind. I am told that your priests offer in gold, that the sacred blood is received in silver cups, that you have golden candlesticks at your evening services. Now your doctrine says you must render to Caesar what is his. So bring these treasures to me. The emperor needs them to maintain his forces." So Lawrence replied that the church was indeed rich, and he said, "I will show you a valuable part, but give me time to set everything in order and make an inventory. So after 3 days, he gathered a great number of blind, lame, maimed, leprous, orphaned, and widowed persons, put them in rows, and when the prefect arrived, Lawrence simply said, "These are the treasure of the church."
Wow.
The prefect was so angry that he told Lawrence he would indeed have his wish to die after he imprisoned him. Then he had a great gridiron prepared with coals beneath it and had Lawrence's body placed on it. After the martyr had suffered the pain a long time, the legend does conclude that he makes the famous cheerful remark, "I am well done. Turn me over." So there you have, in a nutshell anyway, this great saint. He's also recognized in Eucharistic prayer number one. We've had a few of those lately. Once again, Sixtus II. He's mentioned amongst the great early popes of our church, John the Baptist, the seven virgin martyr saints. So in that regard, he is immortalized in the celebration of the Mass when Eucharistic prayer number one is proclaimed. And just an overall great inspiration. I'm sure our deacons here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta take him as a role model, a true servant, a true brave servant. And it's good to have an opportunity to talk about him today.
Wow. Wow. What an inspiring story. The reminder that, you know, Jesus said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the fact that joy clearly fueled him in the darkest and most challenging of circumstances is a testimony to God's unwavering grace, which is really beyond and above circumstance. Like the Lord said, you know, in this life you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world.
Yeah. You know, St. Augustine delivered several homilies on St. Lawrence over the course of his storied life, and he once said in a homily that he delivered on his feast day, I quote, "The way we came to know love was that he laid down his life for us. So we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Lawrence understood this, and understanding, he acted on it. In his life, he loved Christ. In his death, he followed in his footsteps." And of course, St. Maximilian Kolbe, who we talked about just a few days ago, another great example of a man who laid down his life in Auschwitz, dying in the place of another man. We see this, and you know, St. Lawrence teaches us that we should not fear religious oppression. With great confidence and fortitude, we can overcome the challenges that stand before us. In many artists' renditions, St. Lawrence is clad in rose-colored vestments. Either he's perpetually celebrating Gaudete Sunday, or the artist is depicting the joy with which he went through life. Truly amazing in light of the hatred, the oppression, and the violence that he and his contemporaries face. But even in the midst of persecution, we too can maintain our joy.
These words are so inspiring. This is from a letter that remains from the latter stages of his life. So here it is. "Let all the people fix their minds not on death, but on immortality. Let them commit themselves to the Lord in complete faith and unflinchingly encourage and make their confession with joy, not fear, knowing that in this contest the soldiers of Christ are not being slain, but rather winning their crowns."
Yeah. I mean, Jesus taught us what it means to surrender. He descended from eternity to become a child. The life of this child, he became a man who would be continually offering and suffering.
Yeah.
And throughout his life and his death, Jesus was a continual offering to God and the Father. And St. Lawrence lived his life in imitation of Jesus' life. He, too, was a pure sacrifice that was pleasing to God. And, you know, as the entrance antiphon at Mass proclaimed during his feast day Mass, and I should point out, this is a look back segment. His feast day was back on the 10th of August, fell on a Saturday this year. It said, and I quote, "This is the blessed Lawrence who gave himself up for the treasure of the church. For this year in the suffering of martyrdom to ascend with joy to the Lord Jesus Christ." So, you know, men like St. Paul, St. Lawrence, of course, Edith Stein, who we celebrated on the 9th, just the day before, had legitimate reasons to be afraid, you know, yet they were bold, and it really kind of makes you wonder, what are we afraid of?
And speaking about not being afraid, persevering through fear, I think that you have a reflection on that, Chuck.
Well, yeah, you know, every Catholic longs to hear those words as quoted in Scripture when our Lord says, as we stand before him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And with an emphasis on "well done," in the case of St. Lawrence, given his time on the gridiron, I think we can safely assume he, in fact, heard those words as our Lord spoke, in his case, figuratively and literally.
Check out this quote, by the way. This is from Pope St. Leo the Great, from his Sermon 85. "The flames could not conquer the charity of Christ. The fire burned outwardly, but there was a greater fire burning within, which gave this blessed man the strength to triumph over the flames."
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Like, if I'm cooking something and my finger touches the burner, I'm in pain for like weeks. This man was on the gridiron. So the Lord gives us, of course, I'm a big baby, but that's beside the point. But the Lord gives us the strength we need when we need it. And in this case, in this seminal moment, you know, it's a story that lives on in legend. You know, some will believe that he actually said that. Some will believe that he didn't. When we're down and out in times of extreme trial and tribulation, Jesus not only gives us what we need, but he allows us to infuse some humor in the situation.
That's a good word, man. I want to just drop this knowledge from St. Augustine of Hippo. This is Sermon 304. The Roman church flourished because it was watered by the sacred blood of the martyrs. And in Lawrence, she has given us a pattern of love. For as he loved Christ in life, so he followed him in death.
Yeah, St. Augustine was clearly inspired greatly by St. Lawrence, wrote a number of homilies in his honor. And I should point out to our listeners, too, in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, and we may have some people from New York City listening on the app today, there is on display a small glass medallion dating from the 4th century depicting the life of St. Lawrence. And the medallion bears a very simple inscription. It says, "Live with Christ and St. Lawrence." And with that in mind, St. Lawrence, deacon and martyr,
pray for us.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
Daddy's home.
Dad, you there?
I am.
Dad! Dad, can you hear me, Dad?
Hello, I hear you.
Dad are up. Monday memes time.
Yeah, it's 8:40, and I know, Allison, you like the more sincere ones, the inspiring ones.
I do. Bring it.
I like the humorous ones. Oh. We've got everything in between, too. Okay. I'm going to start off. I think you sent this one to me, Allison.
Okay, let's hear it.
Your light may not reach everyone, but it will reach those who are seeking it, so keep shining.
Amen. I did send you that, and I saw that, and I was like, this is perfect. It's beautiful.
Absolutely.
I love
inspirational.
That. Amen.
When I was a kid, privacy was measured in the length of our phone cord.
I remember those days.
So there was this comedian that just did a late night performance, and it was he talked about the difference of asking a girl out in the 90s versus now when he grew up. And he's like, you know, you would be sweating so hard because you had to get through her father just to talk to the girl you were interested in calling after school. And one of the jokes he said, he was like, I was just calling to see if Sarah could help me with math. And he's like, you're going to be kind of surprised about this, Derek, but I'm pretty good at math myself.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I miss those days with the cord. I miss the days with the cord, I must say.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, I mean, yeah, it was a big pain for me as a kid, but we had a very short cord, and it was in the main room, and that was it. One phone, and that was it.
And it was a rotary, right, Dave?
It was, as a matter of fact.
Was it really?
We had one of those years ago, too.
Oh, and we had a party line.
What's that? You had to...
Where you've got, like, a bunch of people. Like, if one of your neighbors is using the phone, you can't use the phone.
What?
Okay, we did not have that.
No, we didn't have that. You were hanging out in the Great Depression or something, man. I don't know what's going on.
He was on the farm.
Oh, you're a farm boy.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Here's another one. Someone asked if I had plans for the fall, and it took me a minute to realize they meant autumn, not the collapse of civilization.
Oh. Nice. Dad or up.
Dad,
you know, it's funny how y'all can merge perfectly at a Chick-fil-A, but not on the highway.
Well, you know what? Ha ha. But I had an incident happen at Chick-fil-A this past weekend.
You had an accident?
No, I didn't have an accident. But man, this guy, I was going slowly because I go to the Hickory Flat one because I'm in Woodstock. And I kid you not, I was waiting for the person coming out of the drive-thru to move forward because it's always congested. And the guy in back of me was honking. So you know what? I beg to differ, Dave. I don't think everybody's always super duper kind in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru line.
That's true, but it does work pretty efficiently most of the
Normally
time.
Normally it does, yes. That was a once in a month. No, it's been a long time since somebody's honked at me. So there you go. Keep on going, Dave.
I want to lose weight, but I don't want to get caught up in one of those eat right and exercise scams.
There you go.
And
you can make it to the Olympics if you take the Ozempics. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Josh.
Right.
Oh, Josh.
And we'll close on this one. When you don't know where to go, go kneel before the Blessed Sacrament.
Amen. Hey,
that's a mic drop for sure. Thank you for daddering up. Dadder up. Dadder up, Dave. That's his name.
Absolutely.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Hey, we are closing out very, very strong with our newfound friends Bill Garrity and Peter Kanzler, parishioners of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, discussing an OCIA program that's unlike any other I've heard of.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160 The Quest. But now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are closing out strong with Bill Garrity and Peter Kanzler, parishioners of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, discussing the OCIA program. How are you, gentlemen?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Oh, well, it's so great to have you guys here. And can you share a little bit about how y'all became involved in OCIA and why this ministry is so close to your heart?
Well, for me, when I was 12 in 1987, had a seventh grader show up in my class. It was a middle school class, religious ed class, and she was brought by one of her friends, but she was a Catholic. So we got a call probably the next week that there was a young girl in here. Can my wife come over and sponsor? And we were about to have our son at that point. So I said, she can't tonight, but I'll come over and fill in. So went over to fill in, walked in, and her name was Denise. And I said, what are you doing here? She goes, what are you doing here? So that was how I got started in RCIA. Had to design a program for a middle schooler.
Yeah.
And then we started a children's program and then eventually inherited the whole thing.
Wow.
Wow. That's amazing.
So, yeah.
And how about you, my friend?
I came into the OCI program as a sponsor about 15 years ago under Bill's direction. Had a great time doing it. I learned a lot about my faith, and I reinforced a lot of things. So I decided to join the staff, and for the last 15 years, I've been teaching there.
No, I love that. And I loved hearing you say that you were a sponsor, because I'm a cradle Catholic as well.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I learned so much from being a sponsor. I feel like if every cradle Catholic could sponsor somebody coming into the church, their mind would be blown at how much they learn and grow in their faith.
Yeah, I keep telling people it's the best thing you could possibly do in terms of catechesis.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Amazing. And you guys have a little bit of a plot twist to your OCIA, because a lot of them have a start and end date, but you guys have perpetual OCIA. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the design is, because you don't know when the Holy Spirit's knocking on somebody's door, we want to be available for them. So we run inquiry all year round. Which is the session for most people when they're getting started. They come in and ask a few questions. The only way to do that is to develop an effective team. So we have a team of folks that facilitate the inquiry, and they rotate out every 6 weeks.
Nice.
Wow.
So we're able to be fresh. We're able to be there when folks knock on the door and come by. Catechumenate then goes all year round. And, of course, we break it off for the period of purification and enlightenment for those who've decided that this is their church and want to come forward. And then, of course, we do a Mystagogia program, but catechumenate is running the whole time underneath it, along with the inquiry.
That's so cool.
So, you know, when you all think of people that have journeyed through OCIA, you know, at Transfiguration, what moments stand out to you all as truly inspiring?
I think part of what keeps me engaged is that the Easter Vigil, see the expressions on their face, that they're willing to go through this process and commit to Jesus Christ.
Yes. No, it's beautiful. The Easter Vigil is heavenly, heavenly, heavenly.
Absolutely. That's so fantastic. And I love how this is just like a revolving door in a way, right? Because you're removing all the obstacles to the faith. I mean, that's fantastic. And by the way, for somebody who's listening, who's perhaps never heard of OCIA, how would you describe it in a way that captures its purpose and beauty?
Well, firstly, maybe we should define the acronym, Order of Christian Initiation for Adults. Basically, it's the way one who is not Catholic becomes Catholic. So kind of start that way. For us, we approach it as a journey, and we expose sacraments, the graces of Jesus, the walk, that Jesus went under, but also an in-depth analysis of how to look at Gospels, how to look at the readings every Sunday, ways to interpret them to come back to you in 2025. What does this mean? Ancient readings, how do you interpret them?
Yeah.
And how do you take it out of here and move forward? And so some of the success stories we've seen are people who have come through and are very active in the parish, you know, either in the choir, assisting the pastor, parish leadership, sometimes helping with the quest. I won't name a name here. But, but we see people getting really engaged in the faith, which to me is the ultimate sign that something registered. That flame that got them to knock on our door and start an inquiry has gotten much bigger and is burning much harder. We have a lot of very active alumni.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think one of the big things is, you know, we do this on a perpetual basis every year.
Yeah.
And the question to the candidates is, why this year? We were here last year, but why this year? So it's very interesting to get their perspective on these things.
Well, because truly the Holy Spirit, I mean, when the Holy Spirit prompts you and touches you to like move forward, you got to be ready to welcome them at any time, right? So what does the journey of faith in OCIA look like from the very first conversation you had with them or into the joy of receiving the sacraments?
In less than 30 seconds.
Well, maybe 45 seconds.
I think sometimes it's an emotional ride for a lot of people. But it's also an exploration. I think there's a revelation that God's been active, you know, kind of tapping them on the shoulder for a while, and all of a sudden it hit. And as a result of conversations and hearing other people's experiences, there becomes a tapestry that builds within that individual. And then they all of a sudden start feeling their faith and start moving forward in it. And again, as I said, the alumni involvement is really something that we see a lot of.
Oh, wow.
You know?
It's fantastic.
And that's so great, truly, that the alumni are there.
They become our sponsors.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, what a great job you all are doing for them to make it through and to actually decide, you know what, this made a difference in my life. I want to now serve and help somebody else on the journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, so you're talking about there's a mutual spiritual benefit taking place, right? I mean, you could maybe even argue that maybe not sacramentally, but interiorly, you would get just as much out of it if you were serving and walking with someone as the recipient, you know, as the catechumen. So I just wonder how, in your experience, how does OCA change not only the lives of those becoming Catholic, but those who accompany them?
Well, I think being a sponsor at one time, it changed me as well. And sponsors have told me that they've got a deeper appreciation for their faith because of the experience that they had.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And they put it into action. I mean, I think that's the thing. You've gone from not having a church or being fond of wherever you were coming from to now putting your faith into action, which, again, to Allison's point, the Holy Spirit's involved in the individual, but now that flame has been allowed to develop and become even stronger, so they get engaged in a more profound way.
Wow, that's awesome.
You know, and I know sometimes people might feel hesitant to take the first step toward exploring the Catholic faith. What words of encouragement would you offer to someone who's curious but unsure?
My response is, it'll be the most fun you ever have talking about religion. You'll have a good time exploring it, and you'll find out whether it's for you or not.
Yeah,
that's the point. Is this church your choice? And that's the point that gets emphasized the entire time. That individual needs to make the decision.
There's no pressure on them. And I think that's the big thing, too.
Yeah.
They don't have any pressure to absolutely commit to this. I mean, we're going to get to know them, be friends with them, and we'll be friends with them whether they decide to take the leap or not.
You know, I think we should change the format, okay, guys? They come in for day one, you lock the doors, you say you don't leave till you're Catholic.
Yeah, it's usually not too effective.
There goes the comedian.
But again, the idea that you can enjoy the experience is one that's critical as well. And it should be enjoyable.
And the beauty behind it is, I mean, it's like a marriage. I mean, you don't want someone to step in or be coerced. You want there to be a freedom of will, a peace, a joy. And that's where you guys show up and God shows off, right? We believe that the Holy Spirit is the ultimate interpreter of the information these people will be receiving, and that will be their North Star. Yeah. So it's like that phrase, you know, you do the sowing, but God does the growing, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
So if somebody's listening right now and feels a tug on their hearts to learn more, what's the best step they can take right now, the first step?
Call your local parish and find out what their ministry looks like and what the times and states are. You know, we as I said, we set up an email address where you can just call in with a question, emails with a question. I don't know how every parish is set up, so I'm kind of reluctant to go down that road.
Yeah.
But most all parishes have a program.
Yeah.
And so I would definitely make contact with them and make sure that, you know, they're comfortable joining and get started.
Amen.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Bill Garrity and Peter Kanzler from Transfiguration Catholic Church, for helping other people take that beautiful step into the Catholic faith through your OCIA leadership. Let's close this show out the holy way. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.
Thank you.